welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Yeah. we just want to bless you this morning, God. Sometimes we can make worship about ourselves, but this morning we want to make it about you, Lord. We want to tell you how good you are. Thank you, Father.
Nothing. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. It perfects all that concerns us. No matter what it is, He makes us whole. It is such an awesome privilege to be able to walk in covered by the precious gift that Jesus Christ paid on the cross for your victory, for your healing, for your peace, for your deliverance. Oh, precious! How precious is the blood of Jesus? It makes us whole. Yes, yes, hallelujah. This isn't just a routine and a ritual or words that we sing. It is literally life and health to our bodies as we sing and declare the word of the Lord. You are healed in this place by the blood of Jesus. You're delivered this morning. Every addiction, every stronghold, by the blood of Jesus. You have peace this morning by the blood of Jesus. You have victory by the blood of Jesus. How precious is that blow? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we love you so much. We are so thankful and we are so grateful for the gift of the cross. Jesus, you change everything. We're so thankful. Thank you for your anointing, for your power, for your grace, for your peace, for your victory. Thank you, Jesus. You are the I am that I am. We love you so much, Father. In your precious name, amen. As you return to your seats, I want you just to share victory with somebody. Greet somebody that you don't know. Talk about how good God is. Tell them how good God is. Make sure if you're sitting down, move out from your seat and shake somebody. Can we have the lights? Lights, camera, lights, so we can see each other? No? Okay. There we go. Make sure you get up and greet somebody around you. Welcome them. Wow. Thank you.
How's it going?
Well, anyways, please take your seats and get ready for the upcoming announcements.
This year, for the first time ever, we are hosting a vacation Bible school. This is going to be super exciting, super fun, and I want to invite you to bring your kids, your aunt's kids, your cousin's kids, and your next-door neighbor's kids. Sign up at histabernacle.com/VBS. Also, if you would like a chance to volunteer, go to the His Kids check-in desk and find out how you can be a volunteer that week.
Woo! Hey, His Tab peeps, listen, we want to let you know about Growth Track. This is our 4-week course that we have happening every single Sunday from 9:30 until 10:30. Listen, if you want to know who we are and where we're going and how you can get involved, we want to help you discover what God can do through you.
If you want to take your leadership capabilities to the next level, then I would encourage you to join our Next Steps classes. At the Horseheads campus, our classes are Tuesday nights at 7, Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m., and then Thursday nights at 6 p.m. At the Mansfield campus, our classes are 7 p.m. on Tuesday nights, and at the Ithaca campus, they are Thursday at 6 p.m. I want to see you there, and I want to see you growing and able to lead people after these classes.
Am I on? There I am. Okay, good morning, His Tabernacle and His Tabernacle live stream. Isn't it awesome to be in the presence of God today? How many of you came hungry for the word that moves you, shifts and changes situations, circumstances? I know I did, and expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. So God is going to be powerful in your lives today. If you are a guest in the house this morning, we're going to ask you to raise your hand. We have a gift for you. We want to be a blessing to you. Just keep them nice and high. That gift will be brought right to you. Directly after service on this side of the building, we have a guest reception that we would love to invite you to. It's an opportunity for us to meet you, build relationship. How many of you know Jesus is a relationship God? So we're going to be a relationship church. Amen. Amen. So we want to build relationship with you. There's some coffee and refreshments, and it's just a time of getting to know one another. I'm really excited to announce that His Tabernacle will be having our first vacation Bible school ever. We're so blessed to have a children's ministry and a heart as a house that recognizes that children do not have to wait until they're adults to begin to lead for Jesus, but that they can minister even at the age that they are currently at. So we believe in teaching our children the Word of God. The Bible says that we should write it upon the tablet of our heart, and that is what our His Kids ministry does every single Sunday morning. But it Vacation Bible School, we will have the opportunity to work at that further and to also help develop them spiritually and supernaturally. How many of you have children in the His Kids wing? How many of you have your kids speak in tongues? They've laid hands on the sick and seen them healed, right? We have kids that move in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is a great opportunity for us to consistently invest in them. This is August 12th through the 16th. If you are interested in volunteering, please see Pastor Aaron or go out to the His Kids booth. We need people that are interested in being the hands and feet of Jesus in our kids' lives, because they are our not only future ministers, but ministers of today. I would like to invite Pastor Cody up.
Hey, so we did a thing over the weekend that you might have heard about, and I just wanted to say a gigantic thank you to this house, because what we saw over the weekend was a massive just outpouring of God and a hunger for God from this next generation. And honestly, I don't know many houses that put so much stock in the next generation. But you guys are smart enough. You guys have enough wisdom to know that without the next generation, his tabernacle won't grow. The kingdom, we don't know what would happen, but to continue to push forward. So if you served at all over the weekend, can you stand to your feet real quick so we can just honor you and recognize? Man, it was a massive sacrifice of time, effort. Seriously, it was worth. Awesome. Thank you guys very much. It oftentimes people overlook registration and booths and all those things. But man, last night there was an army of people at the arena. They might still half of them be in their bed till like 2 a.m. cleaning up and resetting the church. And it was a lot of work. But for what we saw God do, it was worth every single moment. So from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you for investing in this next generation. And we want to show you 2 videos. The next one will be done. We'll put it on social media today. But I want you to visually be able to see what this house was able to accomplish in the first 2 days of conference. So you can turn your attention to one of these screens.
To give you back what you lost. It's time to do it one more time. I know you thought you lost it forever, but God brought me in this room to tell you he's about to do it again.
The devil has a plan to destroy you, and the only way to get free from that plan is to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost.
Guys, today's gonna be awesome.
So stoked.
Well, man, it was phenomenal. I can't wait to look at all the numbers and see what God did with people coming to him and all those amazing things. So again, thank you, and man, we're excited for 2020. But I'm going to invite Pastor Rhonda. Put your hands together for her. Amen.
Amen. Today is such an exciting day. We have Pastor Spencer is in Mansfield speaking at our Mansfield campus. They are being blessed. And we had an announcement that Pastor was here for first service, but I'll announce it to you for second service. Our church that we've been helping out in Canada since November, so it's almost 1 year. This morning they announced that they are now becoming an official, the very first official His Tabernacle Canada. So it'll be histabernacle.canada. Awesome pastors there that are just passionate for their community. They actually did a Festival of Life over the weekend while we were at Uproar. They were reaching out to their community. They had 10 salvations, 200 people in attendance, out in the park, feeding them, blessing them, giving them the word of God. So God is moving all over the world. In this house, we love talking about money. It was actually one of Jesus' favorite topics while he was on this earth. In most of the parables, they are about money. And the reason why Jesus wants to talk about money is because he wants you prosperous and successful. It is his desire for every single one of his children to prosper and be in good health, the word says. So he teaches us how to be good stewards of our money and how to prosper in our finances. And listen, You might say, oh, I don't want to talk about money. Listen, your whole life is about money. You go to work more than 40 hours a week to earn money, to be able to spend money, to pay bills with your money. Your life revolves around money. We might need to. Not might. We need to get the word of God in our spirit about finances so that we can walk in supernatural finance. Man, I love supernatural finance. I never want to walk in natural finance. When you do not tithe, you're on your own. You're walking in this world's economy. But when you tithe, the word of God tells us in Malachi 3, when you tithe, then your money becomes supernatural. He'll bless it. He'll rebuke the devourer. He opens the windows of heaven. Your finances become supernatural. I have watched God. We have testimony after testimony, unending testimony about when we give, how God returns to us. And I said it last week. I'll say it again. Some people get funny about that, and they're like, oh, you know, we don't want to give out of the wrong spirit. We don't want to give to get back. Listen, you cannot separate that from God. It's just who He is. He is a giver. He loves to prosper you. When you enter in, it's an automatic that supernatural blessings are going to break out in your life. So if you're ready this morning with your tithe and offering, I'm just going to read to you Leviticus 27:30. And it says, and bring all the tithe of the land to the Lord. It is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. So the tithe is holy to the Lord. And the word tithe, it simply means 10%. The church didn't make up a number, pick a number that they liked. The word tithe that Jesus uses means 10%. So we bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Now, the tithe is not the special guest offering. The tithe isn't sowing towards uproar. The tithe isn't giving your alms. The tithe is 10%. In Malachi 3, it tells us we're to bring the tithe into His house. It is for the work of His house that souls can be saved and the kingdom of God can advance. So don't mix up tithe with your seed and your alms and your giving. The tithe is holy to the Lord. Amen. Are you ready to give and make your money supernatural? Stand to your feet. We declare the word of the Lord over our finances every single week because there's death and life in the power of the tongue. So we're going to speak life into our finances this morning. And if you'll repeat it after me, it says, if I obey, oh, then I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button, give right along with us, or even text to give. Yeah. special treat this morning. We have been announcing and letting you know, but we have Brother Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. in the house. They are such a blessing. We love them like family, and I'm not going to take any more time because I know God's got something powerful for you. Brother Ted.
Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus this morning if you love him. Do you love the Lord today? I'm so happy to be back here. I'm so excited for everything God did this week. The Uproar Conference, it was so powerful, literally. I mean, I was so happy to see young people's lives being changed. And you saw just a tiny bit in those recap videos of what God did. This is truly something that's impacting a generation. It truly is. And I'm so appreciative to be a part of it. And I love this church. I love Pastors Mike and Rhonda and what God's doing in his tabernacle. And you came on the right morning. Something's going to happen for every one of us that's going to be life-changing today. Can you say amen? I'm also very thankful to have my wife with me, Carolyn. Beautiful, beautiful, wonderful, anointed Carolyn. And my wife, the Lord spoke to her this year to begin a ministry called Nonstop Mom. And it's been great. It sounds like some people are already members of that group. Exciting. The private Facebook group just hit over 1,000 ladies that are now a part of this weekly. Amen. Which means there's a party coming. Amen. An online party. They're going to throw one. None of us guys are invited because it's a ladies only thing. There have been a few creepy guys that have tried to get into the group, and we've kicked them out and contacted Facebook and had them arrested. Anyway, but it's going to be a great day today. I'm so happy that she's here and my children. My wife, I really thank God for her because she's not just a wonderful wife and a wonderful mother. She's also, you know, I don't know how I could continue to do what God's called me to do if I had to leave my family constantly, you know, be gone 250 days a year and not get to see my wife or my beautiful three children. So she is not just a wonderful mom, wonderful wife, and an anointed minister, but now she's homeschooling two of our children, and the third one is getting older quick and getting ready for school, I guess, at some point. But I'm a product of homeschool, so thank God you can turn out normal. Amen. I'm actually still not sure I did turn out normal anyway. But I'm excited. It's great to be here today. I'm happy. I'm happy about what God did this week. And, it stirred my spirit up last night to see hungry young people all over that arena that were just dancing until they were sweaty. You know that youth. You know the youth camp smell? If you don't know the youth camp smell, it's Doritos mixed with BO mixed with Axe body spray. And that's exactly what it smelled like around the altar last night. But we praised anyway. It was awesome. And it's great because you know what that is? It shows hunger. That nobody cares what people think of them or what they look like while they're dancing, shouting, giving God praise. That shows that above all else, I want an encounter with the Holy Ghost. And that's what we've got going on. Sparking hunger and desire into young people to serve the Lord and be hungry for the moving of the Holy Ghost. Not just religion that has a form of godliness but denies his power, but to see a hunger for the Holy Ghost. So I'm very happy. And I'm so thankful for Cody and Mindy and everything that they've done to push forward to do this. What this vision God's placed in their heart, it's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. And another pleasure that I have today is that I got more family here. My brother, my twin brother, Reese Jackson, is here. And my sister, Jenya Jackson, all the way from Abundant Life in Margate, Florida. And I'm so happy to have them here. Both of them so anointed. Reese Jackson can preach the paint off the walls. And not only that, he's so multi-talented that he'll make any man insecure. I don't even like to hang around him for a long period of time because he'll point out all the things you can't do, and I don't like to have that happen to me. But he literally does it all with excellence and has a heart for people like you wouldn't believe, has raised up so many young people to serve the Lord and become successful in this generation and along with his wife, and she is one of the most anointed worshipers in the world. And I've traveled the world. So I can tell you that for sure. And I always like to come back home to Florida and be on the front row praising God while she's worshiping, because it's always powerful. It's always anointed. And I'm so thankful that they're here. Would you take a moment and put your hands together and welcome my brother Reese Jackson as he comes to greet you today. Amen.
His Tab family. I hear a lot of this side. Is this side alive? I said, His Tab, are you here this morning? Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to be in his house. David said it like this. He says, better is one day in his house than 1,000 anywhere else. Are you glad to be in God's house this morning? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've, like Pastor Ted just said, we just had a phenomenal 3 days at Uproar, and it was something. Let me tell you something. We came from Florida off of an exhausting time that we've been having in ministry, and we were just tired. We're like, God's called us to Uproar. And I came in, and I was literally like, all right, God, let's just do it. Let me tell you something. The word of God is true. It says this. He'll satisfy you, the hungry, with good things. By night number one, the conclusion of night number one, the fatigue had left my body. New strength had come into my body. I felt the anointing of the Holy Ghost to do what we got to do. We got to do, not had to do. We did what we got to do. And something shifted in my life personally. So I want to thank this house. I want to thank Pastors Cody and Pastor Mindy for having the vision to reach their world with life. I want to thank Pastor Michael, Pastor Rhonda, for investing in this generation. You know, I sat in a conference about 8 years ago, and I heard a man of God say this. He says, he who wants the next generation will invest in them, not just talk about them. And let me tell you something. His Tab, you guys, Uproar Conference, you guys are investing in the next generation, so you have a right to reach into it, direct it, pointed in the right direction, and also reap the harvest from it. Everybody in this room that sowed and gave and served in this Uproar Conference, you have a right. Say, I have a right to the harvest that God is bringing forth. In Jesus' name, amen? Come on, give God a hand. Give God a hand. Give God a hand. You know, I'm from, as Brother Ted just said, we're from Abundant Life Church, and Bishop Thomas is our pastor. He's my spiritual father. He's a covering of this ministry as well. And he teaches us something very profound about seed time and harvest. He says, what you have and what you do with what you have reveals who you are currently and where you're about to go. Let me say that again. What you do with what you have reveals who you are right now and where you're about to go. And I just know that God, whatever, a new campus just opened today, that is not enough. God is doing something. He's breathing his fresh fire, fresh wind on this church, on the extensions of this church, Ithaca, the new campus, Canada. I'm telling you right now, the capacity is not great enough to hold whatever God's going to do. We're going to need more. Somebody say more. God is about to do more in our midst, and not just in the extensions of your campuses. We believe in your personal life, because what you sow into others and what you make happen for others, God makes it happen for you. Amen. So I'm excited to be here. I told you back in Empowering Pastors, I believe that was March or April, one of those months. I don't even know which month it was. I told you about my wife, Jenya. She came to Uproar. Most people probably thought I was making her up because it was such a beautiful story. I was not making her up. The story is true. The myth, the legend lives on, and we brought it here today. So would you help me welcome Jenya up to the platform? Y'all know I'm blessed. Y'all know I'm blessed. Every morning of my life, I get to wake up next to this one. If there was never a telltale sign that Jesus loved Reese, there it is right there. Can you celebrate Jesus loving me a little bit? Come on, come on, come on. We're going to have her do something just to get us back just get us launched into this time before Pastor Ted comes and bring the powerful word. Anybody excited about the word today? She's going to do a couple songs off of her new album that we told you about, but I want to tell you again, she has a Conquer CD. We released this album out in September of last year. It's been doing phenomenal, man, going all over the place, and just God just opening up new doors. But we have this album. We brought up like 50 with us. I think we got like 10 or 15 left. Please don't let us take them back to Florida. The baggage claim is pretty expensive. Okay, so would you help us out and hit that up in the lobby? Also, we got some new Conquer's merch. We've never launched this merch before. This is one of two shirts. This is in the lobby as well. It talks about we're more than conquerors. Anybody feel victorious in this house? Come on, I said, does anybody feel victorious in this house? It's not because of what we've done. It's because of what Christ did for us. Amen. That we get to declare from the victory for the victory. Amen. And so Jenny's going to sing a couple songs. I want to give these away. Can I give these away? I got to ask her because she's the boss. Bro, you get one, definitely. You've been worshiping all weekend, blessing me. Come here, man. Just stand up. It's a shirt. It won't hurt nobody. Here. Touchdown. My friend right here. Hey, stand to your feet. Let's worship Jesus a little bit this morning.
Oh, man, are you grateful for who God called you to be? Say this with me. Say, I am more than a conqueror. Are you ready? Let me see your ready faces. Let me hear a ready sound. That's all right. Ooh. Oh, I got friends. I can sing with friends. Come on. Yeah. Your love has set me free. On the cross, you've won it all, and death has met defeat. You've won the victory, and now, no, I'm not forsaken, captured by this love you show. Oh, you never let me go. If you know it, you have won. Come on, my heart, Jesus, you paid it all. You made a way for the world to know. We are more than conquerors. Oh, you sound good. Oh, oh, you've made us more than conquerors. Say, oh, oh, you've made us more than conquerors. Revealing destiny, I can see it. You have given life abundantly. Purpose in you now. No, hey. Not forsaken, captured by this love you show. Oh, you never. Are you ready? Say, you have won my heart, Jesus, you paid.
We praise your name. You made us more than conquerors. Where is the grave? You saved the day. You made us more than conquerors. Say no sin. No sin and shame. We praise your name. You made us more than conquerors. Where is the grave? You saved the day. You made us more than conquerors.
Say it again. No sin.
No sin and shame. We praise your name. You made us more than conquerors. Where is the grave? You saved the day. You made us more than conquerors. You have won my heart. Jesus, you paid it all. You made a way for the world to know your love. You have won my heart. Hey, Jesus, you paid it all. You made a way for the world to know your love. Say, we are more. Everybody say, oh, oh, oh. Say what? You made us more than conquerors. Say, oh, 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 oh. You made us more than conquerors. All the conquerors in the building, make some noise. Woo! Do you know that you are a winner? Do you know that you've already overcome? You are overcomers in Christ, not by yourself, in Christ. Knowing Him allows you to be who He's called you to be. All the things that you've ever heard in your life that don't line up with the Word of God, you know what they are? They're lies. You know where they belong? Under your feet. Why? Because you are more than a conqueror. Are you there? You are more than a conqueror. And you know what? For that reason, our God deserves all the praise. For that right there, He deserves all the glory. You know what I love? That when we all open up our mouths and give Him praise, when we all are focused in, especially right here, this is the whole corporate anointing. This is why it's important to be in church. Are you listening there at home? It's important to be here at church. Power here at church. I'm glad that you're watching, but man, if you live close by, you need to be at His tabernacle. The anointing, the power, His presence is right here, and you can get something different in the house than you can when you're at home. So I just encourage you, with love and a smiling face, get in the house. There's power in the house. And when we come together and lift up a sound of praise, man, there's something that shifts. There's something that changes. Like Pastor Rhonda said, what, hello? Something happens when we call out the name of Jesus. When we give Him what He's worthy of. Do you know what He's worthy of? All of the praise. So can we give it to Him right now? Can we just lift our hands right now, right here, forgetting about everything else, giving Him what He's worthy of, shutting everything else out, giving Him what He's worthy of. And I even dare you to open up your mouth before the song even starts and give Him glory. Open up your mouth. You're at home. Open up your mouth and give Him praise. Father, You are worthy. Jesus, You are worthy. You've done it all. You've done it all. So You're worthy of it all, God. You've done it all. You paid the price. You set us up for victory. And for that, God, You deserve all the praise. We lift You up, Jesus. We lift You up, my God. My King, my Savior. Come on, lift Him up, guys. Lift Him up, lift Him up. He's worthy. He's so worthy. God, You're worthy. Jesus, You're worthy.
You are worthy of it all.
Yes. Yes, you are. Yes, you are, God. Oh, Jesus. And before the dawn of creation, I was the apple of your eye. While I was lost in my sin, still you gave your life. Are you grateful? And where could I?
Come on, lift those hands all over this house. Magnify the name of Jesus. Every hand lifted high. Father, we thank you for your power. We thank you for your presence that's in this place today. Let every one of us be supernaturally touched by the power of God. Don't let us leave the same. Let us leave changed. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for it. We give you all praise and glory. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, shout aloud, amen. 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 You can be seated today. Praise God. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Wow. I'm telling you, this has been a phenomenal week already, just to see all the things that are happening. I'm so thankful for it. I know Reese made mention also of the album that's available in the lobby. How much are those CDs going for? $7, but also I have a stash in my trunk for $5 in the parking lot if you'd like to get them. We're trying to unload those first. But make sure you grab one of those. I have a brand new magazine I want to give you today before you leave. It's absolutely free. This is Miracle Word Magazine. Comes out once a quarter. We send it to you free. If you don't get it, you can sign up with us. We'll send it to you as well. And my wonderful wife has been writing faith-building articles. We're putting testimonies in here, things to build your faith and let you know what God's doing as well. We have, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And we have all kinds of books out there to build your faith. Basically, all my books, if you've read any of my books, they're basically about the existence of UFOs and alien life. So just, you've got one there. But I'm just joking. They're not really. But that's the next book coming. Anyway, they'll build your faith, and they will set you in a place of victory. You know, one of the things I love is when we get testimonies back from people that have read, and just the word, the faith built from the word has produced a miracle in their life. That has really stirred my faith. I was battling depression, read Praise, Laugh, Repeat, it left my life. Or, you know, battling sickness, disease, I read Blood on the Door, it changed my life. And so the things that we're releasing are to build you up by the word of God. Did you know the Bible says, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, the word of God is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance in the saints. That's Acts 20, 32. God has the ability by his word to build you up and to give you an inheritance, the Bible says. So there's a power in the word of God. Amen. And while you're turning to Philippians chapter 2, I want you to turn there quickly. And the Bible says to give honor where honor is due. And so I want to do that very quickly. I see my brother sitting right here in a West Virginia Mountaineers shirt, and I love you so much. You are my brother. We are both Mountaineers. If nobody else in this room knows what we're talking about, we are Mountaineers, and we bleed gold and blue. Amen. And so just take a moment to give honor where honor is due. Praise God. Amen. Y'all happy today? Well, you're here on the right day. I'm going to tell you that. God's got a blessing for you. He's got something he wants to deposit into your life, and we're not leaving here the same. We are leaving here changed by the power of God. I want to say thanks to everybody that drove in from out of town, that was here for the conference and stayed over for the services today. We love you, and thank you for pressing in faith to receive from the anointing of the Lord. Amen. The word of God, I had you turn to Philippians chapter 2, and there's a passage of scripture here. If you were here in the first service, you heard me read this passage. I'm going to come at this a bit differently in the second service, but I want you to see this as we start from the same place. Verse 5 of Philippians 2, the Bible says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. And being born in the likeness of men, and being found in the human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Now here's the two points I want to hit your spirit hard with today. "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every other name." Not a name, the name. Hallelujah. "That's above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow." Look at the three places: in heaven, on the earth, under the earth. Every knee has to bow. And every tongue has to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know why I like that verse? It doesn't say Christian knees will bow. It says every knee will bow. Every knee's about to bow to Jesus Christ. And I love that it says in heaven, on the earth, under the earth. I said in the first service, you know what that means? Angels' knees have to bow. Humans' knees have to bow, and demons' knees have to bow. In every place, knees will bow. I love this, because even when you think about the fact that Jesus descended after his crucifixion into the lower parts of the earth, the Bible says, and he led captivity captive. You know, sometimes we think there was some big, huge battle, that there was some big, huge fight between Jesus and the devil in hell. And there was some war going on that went on, and they had to fight, and there's a boxing match and all this. No, the Bible says Jesus is the light of the world. And the Bible says hell is a place of utter darkness, which means that when Jesus entered into hell, kicked the gates in, and the light of the world walked into utter darkness. You think about it. If you, those of you that are still students, I remember when I was in high school, I used to get upset about this. It'd be summertime, and my mom would come in my room in the summer. And you know, summertime for a teenager is a time to sleep in. You don't have to go to school. I'm sleeping in. And my mom would come in the room, and she would come in there, and she'd open up all the shades, and the sunlight would flood in. You know, she'd come in there singing, you know, singing some, there'd be always some Christian song that she was singing to get me ready for the day. You know, and it always had to do with the shades being open. You know, it was like, rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. You know, it was like, come on. And you come into the room, and what happens? Your eyes are accustomed to sleep and to darkness. And when somebody throws the shades open on you, what happens? You bury your face in a pillow. You bury your face in a blanket. Why? Because your eyes cannot take the stark contrast between utter darkness and the light. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, when Jesus walked into the lower parts of the earth and entered into hell, I'm telling you, every demon had to shield their eyes. The devil himself had to shield his eyes as the light of the world walked into utter darkness. And the devil had no ability to resist or hold him back. He had to turn over the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And the Bible says Jesus took them captive and led them around hell and through eternity, letting everybody see. You boys that thought you were so tough, thought you were so strong, going to take this world, I've just now single-handedly defeated all of you, and I've got you all chained up. I feel the Holy Ghost today. And you understand that there's power in just his name. In just his name. How many were here in the first service? Lift your hand. If you were here, you heard me. For those, I'll quickly recount it for those that were not. I was in Brazil recently, and as I was giving an altar call, just 1 week, they were there about 6-7 services. We had 500 salvations in 1 week by the power of God. And on the last night of the service, about 1,600 people had attended the service. And I gave the altar call for salvation, and people flooded the altar. And a woman came down that was full of the devil. And she came down as we started praying. I'm talking about not oppressed. She was possessed by a demon spirit. And she came down. And she wasn't very big, maybe 5'4", something like that. She was a small one. And she's sitting there, and as I start praying the salvation prayer, she throws herself on the ground, starts flailing around and screaming, her head's going back and forth. Then she jumps up off the ground and runs through. She's trying to punch all the new believers, trying to hit them. And you know it was a supernatural thing because it took three full-grown men to hold this woman down to the ground, 5'5", 5'4". And she's screaming and thrashing and her head's going back and forth. Well, I knew what I had to do. I was going to let that govern the service. So I kept on praying with the new believers. And there's a reason for that. Because if their spirits go unchecked, if I cast the devil out before they're believers, he could enter into any one of them. You know, there was a man back in the day of the voice of healing. His name was Evangelist A.A. Allen. Anybody remember A.A. Allen? I'll tell you, that's a great, I've seen Brother Shambach do this too. You know, that's a great evangelism tool, having a demon-possessed person come forward. I was watching a service one time, and Brother Allen, you know, he was wild. This man was wild. He had a massive tent, used to preach the gospel. He would interview demons at the altar, like literally. He'd have the person stand right here, and they're like full of the devil, and he'd have the microphone. He'd go, now you know you're coming out tonight, don't you? And they're like, no, we're not. We're not coming out. He's like, oh, yes, you are. And he'd sit there and interview them at the altar and talk to them. And then he'd have that. I mean, you could see they were demonized. I mean, completely like out of their mind, demonized. And then he'd use this as a point of evangelism. He'd say, now I want you to understand, if you're not a child of God, when I cast this demon out, it could find its home in any one of you. And if your life is not ready to see heaven, if your life is not belonging to God tonight, before I pray the prayer of faith and cast the demon out of this man, you better be right with God. You talk about people getting saved. People are like, my God, I got Jesus. People are running the 40 in 9.1. And I'm telling you, people would respond. Why? Because when you see the supernatural power of God, it lets you know there's more than just a natural realm. There's a supernatural realm. And the devil doesn't want us to get our mind on the fact there is an eternity. There is a supernatural realm. He wants us to be caught up in the natural and go through life like nothing's ever going to change and it's all going to be the same. But Jesus is coming. I said, Jesus is coming. And the Bible says that he's been given a name that's above every name. That woman's thrashing around. Well, I just continued the altar call. I prayed the prayer of salvation with those that were at the altar. And then once that was done, the platform was higher than this. It was probably up to here. I jumped off that platform. I came down. I straddled that woman over the ground. And I told him in the first service, very true, where I was in Brazil, nobody spoke English. I told him, if you went to the more metropolitan cities, Sao Paulo or maybe Rio, they might find some people that speak some English. But here where I was, no one. I mean, literally, just to order lunch, you had to have an interpreter. And I stood there, and I said, she was trying to go, I mean, all over the place, going back and forth. I said, look at me in Jesus' name. Pow, her eyes snapped to mine. I flipped to the interpreter. I said, see that? The devil knows English as well as Portuguese. And she's looking at me. I mean, just staring me down. It's the demons that don't like it. I mean, pure hatred coming through those eyes. If you've ever seen, I mean, pure hate. And I said, you're coming out tonight. No. I mean, it started talking to me back in English. I was like, that's how you know that's a spirit. That ain't the woman. She don't speak English. I said, you're coming out in Jesus' name. No, we're not going to. You're coming out. You know why? Because I have access to the name that's above every other name. The name that's above every other name. And I said, in the name of Jesus, come out. And that demon, and actually by the time I was done, I actually had to cast two demon spirits out of this woman. Finally cast them both out. She goes limp on the ground. And you know it's crazy. I mean, she wakes up and she's saying to people that are there, ushers, where am I? What's happened? What is this? You know, she didn't even know where she was. They picked her up off the ground, took her over and sat her down in a chair next to the pastor. They led her to Jesus there. And then she got in the line. I was going to lay my hands on every person, anoint with oil that night, 1,600 people. And she got in the line. And she comes through. And let me tell you, it was night and day. She came through looking like another woman. But God had set her free. Had a smile on her face with her hands lifted. Came through. I anointed her with oil. And in just one moment, a woman that who knows for how long had been locked in an invisible prison of demon possession, the devil tormenting her life day and night, in just moments, by the power of the name of Jesus Christ, was now free, not only saved, filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, never to be the same again. That's like my brother Reese said this morning. That's what that verse is talking about. I now know what David was saying. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 anywhere else. Because you can get into the help of men. But see, men can only help you so far. You get to the place where men can only do so much for you. That's why it's a mistake to place your trust or faith in men and women. Because there comes a time they can't help you anymore. What do you do when you go to the doctor and they give you a diagnosis and tell you, we're sorry, there's nothing else we can do. There's no medication we can give you. There's no surgery we can give you. We just encourage you to go home and spend all the time you can with your family. Hospice will be coming to your house. We're sorry to tell you, this is the end. What do you do when a doctor shakes his head no? What do you do when a lawyer shakes his head no? What do you do when a financial planner shakes his head no? Are you going to say it's the end? See, know this. At the point where men cannot help you any further, there's always a help that's greater than the help of men. It's the help of God. Hallelujah. It's the Holy Ghost. And that's why David understood, and by supernatural wisdom, he said, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 days anywhere else. Because I can spend 1,000 days with a doctor or a surgeon, but if I'm blind, they don't have any ability to put sight back in my eyes. I can spend 1,000 days with them, but it's not going to change. But if I just spend one day in the courts of God, God can do more in moments than men can do in months. I feel the Holy Ghost. God can spend more on your life in moments than other men can in months. That's why we got to be in the presence. And that's where we got to be, where the name is being proclaimed. The name that's above every other name. And I'm telling you, there's power in just the name. Woo! The name of Jesus. That's why when you go as a preacher, let me let you all in on a secret in case you've never been in this situation. When they call you from the government, whatever government is, the state government, city, national, whatever, they'll call you and say, hey, we want you to come pray over this government event. We want you to come open it in prayer. You're a local pastor. You know what they tell you behind the scenes? Now listen, when you pray, do me a favor. Just say God. Don't say Jesus. We just want you to say God if you don't mind. You know why? Because when you say God, God is not a name. God's a position. God's a station, but God's not a name. Our God is not one of many gods. He's the only living God, and he has a name. His name is Jehovah. That's his name, but his station is God. His position is God. That's why they want you to just say God, because an antichrist spirit and agenda in the earth doesn't want to offend those who may believe in a different God. So if all I do is pray to God, then any Muslim can say that's right. Any Buddhist can say that's right. Any Hindu can say that's right. If you're a Hindu, there's over 10,000 gods in the Hindu religion. How do you even keep track of who you're pleasing and displeasing? You don't have to keep track because they're all dead anyway, and they're never coming back. Understand that we serve the only true and living God. But if all I say is God, then people can misinterpret it to be whatever they want it to be. But I'm not talking about God today. I'm talking about Jehovah today. And I'm talking about his son Jesus today. The reason they don't want you to say Jesus is just by saying the name. There's such power in the name. There's such authority in the name. There's such force in the name that the devil doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want to hear it. You know, you say the name of Jesus to demons, they don't want to hear it, because what it is to them, it is the thing that they must answer to. It's the thing they must respond to. They don't have to respond to anything else but the name of Jesus. But when you speak that name, every issue that's come against you to destroy you has to get up and move out of your life because of the name that's above every other name. Are you here at the 11 o'clock service? I came to tell you today, whatever was hanging on your life before this morning is getting ready to loose its grip off of you in the name that's above every name, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. And I'll breeze this through because we covered it already today. You can go back and watch the live stream if you want to. But I touched on Mark chapter 5 in service 1, where Jesus shows up in the region of the Gadarenes. And he comes through a graveyard where there's a demon-possessed man filled with a legion of demons, which historians tell us is anywhere between 4,000 and 6,000. It was in reference to a Roman legion of soldiers, a battalion of 4,000 to 6,000 men. And he said something to this demon-possessed man that he never said to any other demon-possessed man in the Bible. You know what he said to him? What's your name? He said, what's your name? But I said, that bothers me a little, because if people want to make a big deal about the name of the demon, why did Jesus never ask it to any other demon-possessed person? Why didn't he just cast it out? And here, he asks. But I love the thought. As I was praying about this, the Lord began to speak to me. And it confirmed in my spirit, you see if it does to you. It's as though when he's speaking to these army of demons. See, this man used to live in the city. And he became so violent, they kicked him out of the city. And they would bind him with chains, he'd break the chains. And now he's in the graveyard cutting himself and crying out day and night. Those demons considered themselves to be the most powerful supernatural force in the region. We run this. We run this. We've got the power, until Jesus stepped on the shore. And when Jesus stepped on the shore, watch this, they could feel, we don't run this anymore. You know how I know that? Because a man who was filled with a legion of demons felt Jesus coming and turned toward the source of the power and ran to it. And when he got there, bowed down low before him, began to worship him and said, please do not harass us before our time. Which means that an entire army recognized that one man has the ability to harass all of us. And so we are reduced to begging him, please don't mess with us. I came to preach this morning on this Sunday and tell you, it doesn't matter how many enemies have been sent out against your family. Every single one has to bow its knee and beg, don't mess with us. I love Jesus' response. Shut up. That's a good response. That needs to be our response. I think we get too in-depth sometimes trying to pray for deliverance. Get 19 people on the phone, join hands, begin to pray all hours of the day, pray in speed tongues. What are you, Porky Pig? People think the faster they pray in tongues, the more power is behind it. It's like, you just take it easy. Sometimes there's stuff that creeps up in your life. You need to just look at it and say, shut up in Jesus' name. Shut up in Jesus' name. Stuff starts to creep into your body. Stand in front of your mirror. Point your finger at that thing. Shut up in Jesus' name. Arthritis tries to creep in. Diabetes tries to hit your pancreas. Cancer cells try to crop up in your body. Lay your hands on your own self. Don't wait for a prayer line. Don't wait for the next revival. Don't wait for the next prayer cloth to come in the mail. Lay hands on your own body and say, shut up in Jesus' name. Peace, be still. And the devil had to shut his mouth until Jesus asked a question. What is your name? Only time he ever asked it. Lord said, think about it. And it seems, if you look at the text, it seems like it's more of a rhetorical question than anything else. Here's what he's trying to say. What's your name? Because I'll tell you what your name is not. Jesus. My name is Jesus. Yours is just Legion. So let me show you something in case you haven't seen this, demon-possessed dude. Your name is Legion. Mine is Jesus. What's trying to tell you this? My name is far above your name. Woo, glory to God. My name is far above your name. And so understand this, and this is where I'm going here in the time we have left. Jesus is the Word made flesh. John chapter 1, he is the Word made flesh. And the Bible says that he existed from the beginning with God. John chapter 1, you know what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Later on in the chapter it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. So we know Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. So I want to show you this by revelation today, is that Jesus existed from the beginning. There was no start. No one created God. No one created Christ. He was from the beginning, and he's already at the end. He said, I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I'm the beginning. I'm already at the end. The thing we have a hard time knowing sometimes is that time doesn't govern God. The Bible teaches time was created to govern men, but God's outside of time. That's why he's able to say, I'm still at the beginning and I'm already at the end, because all of time is encapsulated within me. He's back then and he's in the future waiting on you. He knows the beginning from the end. Nothing's going to surprise him. Nothing's going to freak him out. There's no attack of the devil that could be plotted and planned against your life that when it's revealed, God turns to Jesus in surprise. Did you know that was about to? I didn't know it was going to be cancer. Did you know it was cancer? I had no idea. We're going to have to go with plan B. I don't know what. God doesn't get freaked out by what the devil is trying to do. He knows the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. However, let me break something down as a side tidbit for you if you're taking notes. God would never have said to his people, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. That's just what it says in our Bible, because our Bible was translated into the Greek language. But God was not the Greek God. He was the Hebrew God. He spoke Hebrew to his people. And what he really would have said was, I am the Aleph and I am the Tav, the two letters in the Hebrew alphabet that represent the beginning and the end. And if you study the Hebrew alphabet, every letter has its own definition and word picture. And the word Aleph actually means strength. And the word Tav, the last letter, means covenant. And when you actually look at what God was saying to his people, was that I am the strength of your covenant. Hallelujah. I am the strength of you. It doesn't depend on you. It depends on me. I'm the strength of your covenant. I feel like preaching today. See, because every other covenant that was cut, two people came together and cut covenant. See, come here, Octavius. If you ever seen this illustration, I'm going to show it to you again. Stand here. When two people cut covenant together, turn and face me. They would take an animal, back up that way. They would take an animal, they would cut it directly in half and let the two pieces fall on the ground. And then they would walk towards each other, and they would walk that way in figure eights around the two pieces of the animal. They would walk in figure eights just like this around the blood covenant, which signified we are now eternally in covenant together by the blood. Two people had to come in. They would take, I'm not going to do it because it's a little weird, but they would, the right hand would grab the inner right thigh of the other. We're just going to imagine that today. Why? Because that's where the femoral artery that runs all the way to the heart is. That's the bloodline. And the right hand is the strength or the covenant of your life. And they say, now we are connected together forever. He would take his shield out. I would take my shield out. I would take my knife and I would mark his shield and he'd mark my shield. That's why, I feel like preaching. That's why the shield of faith is so powerful. Because if he ever got into a fight when I wasn't there, all he had to do was throw his shield down. And when his enemy saw there was 26 marks on his shield, that means you're not just picking a fight with him, but 26 other tribes are about to show up and whoop your behind. See, the devil doesn't need to see 26. He only needs to see one, because God marked your shield. And if he's coming to mess with you, he's coming to mess with God. And the covenant would be cut. And it'd be dependent on two people. But then God said, I'm going to make a covenant with my man Abraham. So he took him over here and he said, I'm going to make this man, read it for yourself in the word. He said, I'm going to make this man very sleepy. And he put him to sleep, put Abraham to sleep. Go ahead to sleep. He put him to sleep and Abraham went to sleep under the power of God. But the Bible said when Abraham woke up and peeked over what he was seeing, he looked at God walking in figure eights around the pieces by himself. He said, I don't need your help with this one. I don't need your participation with this one. This new covenant is going to be based on me and my power. That's why it's eternal. Oh, I'm here. I'm here to tell you it's eternal. What am I preaching? Abraham's long gone. Abraham's dead. And the covenant has not yet come to an end. Because the Bible said in Galatians 3:29, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That covenant is still working today. You know why? He put him to sleep. Just burning out microphones left and right. And put him to sleep. And you know what he did? He said, I'm going to walk this by myself. He said, so that nobody can steal from you the covenant I'm about to make. Every other covenant, watch. Every other covenant had an expiration date. Except this one. You'll never pull it out of the fridge and pour it into your coffee. It's lumpy. Amen. It's forever. Amen. I said, it's forever. Because what happened in the new covenant was this. You came into covenant with Christ. Now think about this. Abraham, my opinion, you study it for yourself. Abraham met Christ before he died. Bible says Abraham was fighting a war, comes back and meets a dude named Melchizedek. And the Bible said it's a man that had no beginning and he had no end. He was the king of Salem, which means peace. Who is the prince of peace? Who is the king of righteousness? The Bible said he's the king of righteousness. Talking about Melchizedek. Who is this man that had no beginning and had no end? Who's the king of Salem and the king of righteousness? Now catch this. The Bible says, this is a principle, that the lesser can never bless the greater, but the greater always blesses the lesser. So stand. Abraham meets this man named Melchizedek, a priest of Salem,
And the Bible says when Abraham, who by the way was already God's man on the earth, this was God's covenant man. He was the great man in the land, but he meets Melchizedek. And the Bible says he pays a tithe to Melchizedek. And then Melchizedek blesses Abraham. Who is this man that could bless Abraham that had no beginning and had no end? Who was the king of Salem and the king of righteousness? Who is this man that had the ability to pronounce a blessing on God's covenant man? It is my opinion that Abraham met Christ before Christ ever came in the flesh. It was a Christophany. It was an appearance of Jesus before Jesus ever got sent down. Because the covenant, understand this, Abraham is the only man with a covenant that we're still walking in today. And if he was going to produce a covenant that would transfer into the New Testament, then he had to have a relationship with a man that could carry it on into the New Testament. That's why I'm telling you today that there is a blessing that's available to your life, because just like Abraham, you are connected to Christ. You have a connection with a God who has been there from the beginning, and he's already at the end. What am I telling you? I'm telling you that before you had a problem, you had a solution. Woo! Say this with me. Before I had an attack, I had an answer. Before I had a problem, I had a solution. I'm finishing here, but listen to this. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word. So watch this. There was a word spoken over your life before you existed. There was a word spoken over your life before the earth existed. Let's go deeper. There was a word spoken over your life before the devil existed, which means before there was ever an attack against you, there was a word for you. Before there was ever a trap for you, there was a word for you. Before there was ever a death sentence sent out against your life, there was a word for you. What I'm telling you is the word came before the problem came. Watch this, because God doesn't have to be defensive. He's always on the offense. Now watch. This is so powerful to my spirit. I mean, it stirs me up to no end. How can God say stuff like this? Before you called, I answered you. Before you even knew what to call for, he had an answer. Get this now. Go ahead, Sam. You can worship a minute. The Bible says that the power of the word is eternal. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Never. It has always existed. It will always exist. You can't kill the word. That's always makes me laugh when people get up in pulpits and say, y'all need to pray, hallelujah, the church is in trouble. The church ain't in trouble. Let me ask you a question. Who can put the church into trouble? Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. My brother, the church is in trouble. Church ain't in trouble. Ain't nobody got the authority to put the church in trouble. If they could, they'd have to smack Jesus out of his position in building his church. Who's going to smack Jesus around? Who's going to go into heaven, rip him off his throne, and say, you will no longer build your church from this moment forward. I will destroy your church. Who's going to do it? Who even has access into the heavenlies? Who could even touch Christ? I mean, even in this, think about this. Christ has redeemed you from the curse, which means if a curse was going to get put back on you, somebody would have to go into heaven, wrestle the curse away from Jesus, and come back down and put it on you. And ain't nobody got the power to do that. You can't stop our Lord and Savior. You can't stop Christ. You can't stop his power. Nobody can shut him up. Nobody can slow him down. He's still at the beginning, and he's already at the end, and his word is forever. So let me finish by showing you something that'll help you forever. People think that this is what prayer does. Well, when there's an attack, we begin to pray. And when we begin to pray, God begins to form a way of escape. And God begins to come and fix the thing that went wrong. Or God comes and begins to make an answer. No. Let me tell you what prayer truly does. Prayer gives you direct access
to a word that has existed from the beginning of time. I'm just pulling a piece off of the vine that has existed since the beginning of time. That before there was cancer, there was a word. Before there was diabetes, there was a word. Before glaucoma, cataracts, or high blood pressure, there was a word. And I'm pulling out of an eternal word what was there since the beginning. God didn't have to create anything new. He already said it all. I said, He already said it all. That's why the Bible says that when evil men make plans in the earth, God throws his head back in heaven and laughs. He's laughing at the plots and plans of evil men. He's laughing at the attempts of the devil. He's laughing at every bit of demon activity, because no matter how hard they dig or toil or fight, they can never stop what God already started. The thing that you need to understand, this will help you start declaring this out of your own mouth. I've been saying this: devil, you can't stop me because you didn't start me. You can't stop me because you didn't. Of your faith. It says Jesus is the author and the finisher. The only reason he can finish your faith is because he authored it. The devil can't finish it because he didn't start it. What does the devil think he is? Trying to mess with God's people, harass God's children. You can't stop what you didn't start. And I have a Christ who is the author and the finisher of my faith and yours, with the ability to help you. But that help is not being created right now. It's always there. It's always been there. Can you say amen? I'm telling you, the power of God right now is in this house to touch you. Wherever you are, whatever you're dealing with, the anointing is here to touch you today. I'm going to pray two prayers before we leave this service. Whatever you need, I want you to stretch your faith out. Get ready to receive. People might tell you it's hopeless. People are quick to say hopeless. People are quick to tell you, oh, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing God can't do. Let me say this to you. People say, well, brother, nothing's too hard for God. I always hate hearing that phrase, nothing's too hard. Because the moment you say two, you imply degrees of difficulty. Well, this one's more difficult, but God can still do it. No, everything's easy for God. Everything's easy for God. Everything. I had a woman come into my service in New Hampshire, strung out on heroin, strung out. She come in out of it. I called her out, laid hands on her. She went down. Power of God hit her. She came back the next night, gave her testimony. She said, you know something? I've done heroin every day of my life for the last how many years? And she said, today when I woke up, not only have I not done heroin today, I didn't even have a desire to do heroin today. No withdrawals. You hear me? No rehab program. Power of God. Everything's easy for the God you serve. Everything's easy for the God you serve. I want you to stand on your feet all over this house. Now I want you to bow your head. Because the blessings of God are reserved for the children of God. And this first prayer that I want to pray, if you're in this church, you say, you know what? As you've been preaching, the Lord's been dealing with me. There are things in my life that are not right. Sinful things. Holding me back from serving God. You listen to me today. Jesus is coming very soon. Very soon. There's no time to play games with your future. No time to gamble with your eternity. Don't waste your life doing whatever you feel to do. Follow Jesus. He's already calling for you. People are in an invisible prison. They don't even know they are. But Jesus is not mad at you. He loves you. Made a way of escape from every issue. If you're in this church this morning, you say, that's me, preacher. You know what? I'm not sure if Jesus came today that I'd be ready to see him. I really don't know if heaven is my home. I'm not positive my life is right before God. I've got things that I know are displeasing to him in my life. That's why we're going to pray this prayer. The Bible says when we pray it, all things are made new. All things are made new. If you're in this church this morning, you say, that's me. I want to pray with you, and I want to know my life is right with God. Right where you're standing, lift your hand and hold it high if that's you. We're going to pray. I see it. I see it over here, back in the back, to the right, center in the middle. Who else? Don't miss your moment. Jesus is calling. that's you, lift your hand and hold it high. We're going to pray. I see it back here in the back, right here, over here. Who else? This is your day. Today is the day of salvation. I see it there too. Listen, take a step of faith. If you raised your hand, quickly get out of your seat and come stand with me at God's altar. Come quick. Come on, come on, come on. Come right now. Come right now. All over, wherever you lifted your hand, get out of your seat and come stand with me. Jesus is calling. God bless you. Wherever you are, I saw somebody over here in the back. Come on. Come join the family. Come on, come on, come on. God bless you. God bless you. I saw you in the back. Come on, come join us. Don't miss your moment. Jesus is calling. I tell people this, when Jesus is calling, don't hit the red decline button. Answer the call. Because he may not call again. He may not call again. Do you know he could come at any moment? That's why I'm so adamant about this. That's why I travel. My wife and I, we hardly ever go home, ever. You ask my friends, we're never home. We just keep going to see people changed by the power of God because time's running out. I can't sit home and sit on the couch and just say, oh, what a wonderful... No, there's a mission. People are on their way to hell, and Jesus is coming. And you listen to me, every head bowed. This is important. This is life or death, man. It's life or death. Jesus is calling you today. See, when you feel that pull on your heart, that's not a man pulling you. I couldn't do that. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says nobody can be saved unless the Spirit draws them. The Spirit's drawing you, Spirit of God. If you're still in your seat, but you know you need to be at this altar before we pray, come now. Don't wait for another service or another moment. Come and stand with us and pray this prayer. The Bible says when you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're saved and you're a new creation. I love what it says this, and behold, all things have become new. Because you know what that word behold means? We don't say it anymore. But it means take a look. God's saying, take a look. All things have become new. And that's the story of today. 10 more seconds. If you need to come, quickly come now. The reason I don't gloss over this or speed through this is because it's people's life or death moment. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? Thank you. Who else? Jesus is calling. 3 seconds. 3 seconds, 2, 1, every head bowed. If you need to come, run up here. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. Some people can't believe it's this easy. God made it this easy because he loves you. It's not a 21-step process. It's a one-step process. And as you repeat this prayer with me, don't whisper it or mumble it. Say it with a bold voice, letting the Lord know, I mean this today and I'm never going back. Never going back. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for sending your son to die for me. I'm asking you now, forgive me of my sin. Make me a new person till the old life is gone and everything's new. From this day forward, I will serve you. I will be your child. I'll obey your word. In Jesus' name, I give you all the praise for changing my life forever. Now lift your hands and thank the Lord that it's done. Father, I pray for every one of these wonderful people that you would fill them with the mighty power of your Spirit from this day forward. Fill them with the mighty power of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would use them mightily to change this generation before time runs out. Open doors for them. Protect them from harm and danger. No sickness, no disease overtake their body or their children or their house, their families. I thank you, Lord, that your presence will be with them wherever they go. All things are made new, and we thank you, Lord. Lord, if anything has tried to hang on their life, addiction, anything that's tried to hang in their mind, depression, I command it to leave today and never come back. Devil, take your hands off of their life. You're trespassing on God's property. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, from this day forward, we thank you that a new life has begun. In Jesus' name, God's going to use both of you in a mighty way. From this day, all things are made new. All things are changing today by the power of God. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Lord, thank you for my brother. In Jesus' name, from this day forward, use him in a mighty way. Let all things be made new in their lives. We thank you. Now lift your hands all over this house and begin to give God thanks for his goodness and his mercy. Come on, thank him all over this house. Father, we give you praise for every brother, every sister that you've added to the kingdom today. Amen. Put both hands on your belly. The power of God. Is this your wife? Yeah. Lay your hands on her belly as well. I pray for this baby, Jesus' name, that the anointing would come upon it before it's even born from the womb. But the mighty power of the Holy Spirit would touch this child. I declare over this child in Jesus' name that this baby will never know the taste of nicotine or alcohol or drugs. This baby will never know what it is to experience a spirit of perversion. In Jesus' name, this baby will never have broken relationships. This baby will never know divorce or the hurt of divorce. But the relationships that God will give this baby will be godly relationships. Never know the taste of accident, tragedy, or loss. In Jesus' name, I pray a protective hedge come upon that baby from this day forward. A protective hedge in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, put your mighty blessing upon that child. Let them always be set apart for the things of God. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise that you're watching over that child, that it'll always be in the anointing. In Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, somebody shout amen. 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 I thank God for new life. New life. You know, one of the things that, can I share this with you real quickly, because she's going to have this baby. Not because she's going to have it right now. I'm saying because she's pregnant. My Uncle Tiff, many of you know my Uncle Tiff. Praise God. God's touching you. My Uncle Tiff loved Billy Graham with his whole heart. And Billy Graham was 99 years old. And my uncle prayed and prayed. He said, Lord, let him stay alive for your glory till 100 years old. And my uncle was a little bit discouraged because Billy Graham passed away at, I think, 99 years old and 3 months. And my uncle was praying one day. He said, Lord, I asked you to let him live to be 100 for your glory. He served you all over the world, saw many souls. And the Lord said to him, go back and check his birth date again. And went back and checked it. And sure enough, he died at 99 years old and 3 months. And he said, God, it's just what I thought. He said, no, I consider life to begin at conception. He truly was 100 years old. 9 months in the womb, 99 years and 3 months out of the womb. That baby's already being touched inside the womb and will be touched outside the womb. Amen. Here's what we want to do with every one of you. We love you so much. If you do not have a home church, I pray that you make this church your home. Make these pastors your pastors. They love people, and they stand to see people strengthened and built in the power of God. This young lady right here in the beautiful yellow dress, who is not a human trafficker, she wants to just take you for a moment and just share some things with you, give you a gift, and pray with you. Would you just turn to your left and just quickly follow her so they can give you a gift and just be a blessing to you? Welcome them to the family of God today. Let's talk after the service. I want to talk to you. But go with her quickly, because I'm going to pray one more time. Now, this is the second prayer. Every person in this room, before we do anything else, the enemy's been attacking your life. There's been something that's coming against your mind, your physical body, your family. And you're believing for a miracle. You're believing God to change all things today. I want you to quickly get out of your seat and come stand at this altar, and we're going to pray. You believe God, today's your day for a turnaround. Whatever's been harassing you is coming to an end. In Jesus' name, it's coming to an end. It's not going to take all day. Just come quickly. I'm going to pray. And God's going to touch you. Those of you that don't need a miracle, stretch your hands forward towards these that do need a miracle. and we're going to join our faith together. And God, look at this. God's got a lot of miracles ready for us. Things are getting ready to quickly change by the power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. For every person. Some of you, it might be sickness in your body or disease. Some of you might be oppression or depression, anxiety against your mind. Some of you, it might be broken relationships. You're believing for a husband or a wife to come into the kingdom, children to come back to God. Some of you, maybe it's addiction that's held on to you for too long. From today, we're asking God, break every yoke of bondage in Jesus' mighty name. That's the power of God on you. Lift your hands. The anointing of the Lord's on you right there. This lady in the beautiful green shirt. Whew, power of God's all over you. He's touching you right now. He's touching you by his presence. And I tell you this, get ready for a quick turnaround. Because something that's frustrated you seemed like, when is this just going to turn? When is this just going to take place? I've been praying, believing, confessing. God said, it's getting ready to quickly turn in your favor in Jesus' mighty name. From this day forward, fire of the Holy Ghost come upon her right where she is. And I command this thing to turn quickly by the power of God. Turn quickly in her favor in Jesus' mighty name. From this day forward, every yoke is being destroyed. Every burden being lifted. In Jesus' mighty name. Pura shata rekengria de la bosta sandara bakiate. In Jesus' name. This lady in the bathrobe, lift both of your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. The power of God's coming upon you today. This brokenness is ending from this day. It ends today. And overwhelming joy comes upon you. Fire of the Holy Ghost come upon you today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. From this day forward. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'll tell you, you're going to run for the Lord like you've never run. Yeah. Every person that was in your life that tried to hold you back into an old way of living or pull you back in that direction, they're being cut off in Jesus' name. They're going to lose your number from this day in Jesus' name. For you're going to be a mighty, mighty member of the kingdom of God. And you will do great things for God. You will accomplish your purpose. You'll not crash and burn. You'll not fail. You'll not fail. Hear me when I tell you, God's not mad at you. He's not angry with you. He told me to tell you today, he loves you more than you could ever know. Loves you more than you could ever know. And believes in the call that he's put in you. He doesn't doubt you. He believes in you. He believes in you. He's not sitting in heaven waiting for you to fail so he could turn to you and say, see, I told you. She would know. He believes in you. That's why he called you. That's why he set you apart. And from this day, fire of the Holy Ghost. God is making all things new. A strength comes upon you to serve the Lord like you never have today. In Jesus' wonderful name. In Jesus' wonderful name. Somebody take a minute and thank him for his goodness. Thank him for his goodness. Thank him for his goodness. In Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God. New strength comes on your body today. In Jesus' name, power of the Holy Ghost. Receive a touch from the Lord. In Jesus' name. Jesus' mighty name. I want you to lift your hands all over this room, all over this altar. I'm going to pray this. The Bible said in Psalm 107 and verse 20, he sent his word and it healed them. Today, as we declare this, in fact, I want you to join hands with the person right next to you. If you've got to stretch across, stretch across. Join hands. As one family, we're receiving these miracles today. As one family, we're receiving these miracles. Whew. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And now I take authority over every attack of the enemy against your life. Every wicked thing that was sent to destroy you, every evil trap that was planned for your demise, right now I take authority over everything that advanced against you. I say, let God arise and his enemies be scattered in Jesus' mighty name. I take authority over sickness and disease right now. Whatever plagued your body before this day, I command it to come to an end today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ by the power of God. Whatever tried to set up in your body to take you out, may it be burnt up today by the fire of the Holy Ghost and pass from your body in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, right now, every attack of depression, anxiety, panic, suicidal thoughts that's come against your people before today, I speak to that thing in the mighty name of Jesus. I command it to go in Jesus' name. Loose your grip on God's people and leave from this day. I lose joy. I lose peace. I lose joy. I lose peace. I lose joy. I lose peace into every heart, into every mind, into every life. I pray now for relationships. You're believing for people to come into the kingdom. You're believing for husbands, wives, children to be saved, grandchildren that you've been praying for. I pray now in Jesus' name that whatever yoke of bondage holds them, whatever invisible prison's got them locked up, that from this day the doors swing wide open. Whatever walls are around their heart that try to keep them from being saved, I command them to fall down today in the mighty name of Jesus. And I claim their life for heaven and for God, and I call them into the kingdom in the mighty name of Jesus. We declare, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, I want you to lift those hands all over this room because I feel the Lord telling me to do this. Every addiction that's held you, every addiction, maybe you've been faithful to church, you love the Lord, but you can't seem to get off a pack a day. That bondage to nicotine is being broken today in Jesus' name. Tobacco, alcohol, drugs, hear me. Prescription medication, it's being broken today in Jesus' name. Oh, I hear that in the Holy Ghost. This is a side thing. Listen to this. I hear the Holy Ghost saying this. Just popped up in my spirit. The sources of drug production are getting ready to be exposed in this region. Listen to what I'm saying. You're going to start hearing on the news that the police have uncovered RVs in the woods that are making meth, and they're shutting them down. They're going to find places where drugs are being produced and brought in, and it's being shut down in Jesus' name. Opioids that are being trafficked into Elmira and Corning and Horseheads, the sources are being discovered in Jesus' name, and the drug production and trafficking is being cut by the power of God in Jesus' mighty name. And I've not done this, but I do it today by the authority of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that inexplicable fires start, not to the detriment of the lives of the people, but I pray that RVs burn to the ground for no reason with all drugs inside them. I pray that crack houses burn to the ground, not for the death of people, but that every drug inside burns to the ground with it. In Jesus' name, every car that's transporting opioids, burn. I call an end to this in Jesus' name. I am sick and tired of seeing a generation be destroyed by drugs, alcohol, and addictive substances. And in the mighty name of Jesus, I command it to pass from this region by the power of the Holy Ghost and burn with the fire of God in Jesus' name. Lift your hands. I take authority over addiction in Jesus' name. From this service, I command it to loose you and let you go. I curse the taste of nicotine on your lips and tongue. I curse the taste of alcohol, drugs, prescription medication, whatever held you in bondage. And from this day, to loose its grip on you in Jesus' wonderful name. And I declare you free by the power of God. Free by the power of God. If you believe it, I want you to lift both hands and shout unto God with a voice of triumph in this house. I want you to hug somebody and tell them, welcome to your freedom. before you head back to your seat, tell somebody, welcome to a new season. Welcome to a new level. Welcome to your freedom. Welcome to your freedom. Welcome to your freedom. Welcome to your freedom. Woo! Yeah. Welcome to your freedom. It's a new day. It's a new day. Hallelujah. Be seated quickly if you would. I want to clap a little louder than before. I'm going to sing a little louder than before. I want to jump higher than before. Hey, somebody shout a little louder than before. Be seated quickly. Before we dismiss you today, we're going to give you an opportunity to sow a seed into the gospel, into the kingdom of God. Come here, Carolyn, if you would. Quickly be seated. This is my wife, Carolyn. Amen. I love her. Thank you. She said, I love you too. It's good when the husband loves the wife and the wife loves the husband. Amen. But God spoke to us, opened doors for us starting last year. Now this year it's going to take place, that we're going to reach more people with the gospel than ever before. And I want you to know what it is that you're sowing into. And that is a ministry that loves souls and loves people and loves to see people changed by the power of God. So when we pray in just a moment and God gives you a word, an instruction on what he wants you to sow, I want you to understand that what it is you're doing is bringing souls into the kingdom, is seeing people healed of sickness and disease. The testimonies just keep coming in. It's phenomenal. People being delivered from addictions. And that's why God uses all of us together as members, the Bible says, of the body of Christ. Every one of us is needed in the kingdom of God. There's no such thing as superstars in the body of Christ. We're a family. We're the family of God. And so I want you to bow your head all over this place. We're going to pray and ask the Lord to speak to us and tell us what he would have us to sow today into the kingdom. And when we get that instruction, it takes faith to obey God. But Father, we ask you now, by the power of your Spirit, speak to every man and every woman to sow a seed that takes faith. And as we sow a seed of faith, we thank you there's a harvest coming back that's much bigger than what we sowed. We will be blessed. We will overflow financially. Debt is leaving our lives in Jesus' name. Credit card debt, student loan debt, houses are being paid off. We declare it in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Ghost. We will be debt free. We will build wealth in the kingdom, and we'll be a blessing in our generation in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you believe that, somebody shout aloud, amen. 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 You can make your offerings out. Take an envelope in your hand. If you're making out a check, please make it payable to the church, His Tabernacle. And you can give by debit card, credit card, cash, checks, gold, silver, platinum, whatever you'd like. Anything. Cryptocurrencies, donkeys, mules, green beans, whatever you have. Amen. We say thank you for standing with us to see what God's going to do in these final moments of time. How many believe Jesus is coming soon? You know, time's running out. That's why we're going hard. It's time to go harder than we've ever gone to see the gospel preached. Amen. And I want to say I love you. I love this church. Love your pastors. And I'm so thankful for what God's doing in the Uproar Conference. That's one of the reasons that I've been always available. I told Cody, if you call me at 76, I'll still preach a youth conference. I'll come in here at 76 years old, say, hallelujah. Back in my day, we only had cell phones. No, we didn't have all this hologram technology that you young people have. We didn't fly on spaceships like you kids. I said, I'll be faithful as long as they want. And I said this, even if you don't want me to come anymore, even if you don't want me to come preach, I'll still be sowing into this conference. My wife and I'll still send seeds and partner with this conference. You know why? Because I believe in it. I believe what God's doing through it. And it's amazing to see young people touched by the power of God. Can you say amen? When you're ready to sow, stand on your feet today and lift your hands to the Lord and lift your offering to God. We're going to pray a prayer of blessing. Pastor Rhonda, anything you have before we go? All set to go? Pastor Mike was protesting my preaching today, went somewhere else. No, I'm just kidding. How many love and appreciate your pastor? Shout amen. Now, fathers, we get ready to sow this seed into the kingdom of God. We thank you that you gave us the seed. You put it in our hand. You give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And now as we sow, we thank you that angels are going to get our harvest and bring it back to us quickly. We thank you, God, that we will always be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, blessed wherever we go because of the power of your spirit and our obedience to your instructions. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you and we give you praise. And if you believe it, shout aloud, amen. I love you. Come on and give. You're dismissed today. God bless you.